Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8. And then we will also read Matthew 10, verses 37 through 38. And if you would, you could stand with me the reading of the Bible. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 38. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worth of me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for, just want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help me. Guide my lips, guide my tongue. Lord, I just pray that you would... Lord, my wish is for you to be honored and glorified, and that it could be edifying to the people here, Lord. Lord, just get me out of the way. Lord, I just pray that you would just intervene and just be in control of the message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, first of all, what I told Pastor is that... you know, in this testimony, I do not want to come across as bashing the Amish. The Amish have a lot of good traits. And I 100% realize that. I'm not just throwing everything out the door the moment I stepped out of the Amish church doors. We're not just throwing everything out. There's values that come from our background. Now, I will readily let you know that there's also values in the Baptist Church as far as with you all that we can learn from. Each and every one person has somebody that they can look at. But let's not forget our ultimate focus to look at Jesus. And it is a big decision and one that needs a lot of prayer by faith to step out of what you were used to and start fresh. It takes lots of backbone, but the backbone is not of me. It's from God. That's one thing that I thought of often is, I don't know, maybe nobody thought that, but you know, somebody could have thought, wow, they got a lot of backbone if they step out like that. No, it was God's backbone. It was God's word. And I would hate to see where we would be at if we couldn't have come to a church with a foundation of God's word, Jesus Christ. You know, that is the ultimate. This is the ultimate. This is the only word. And we're just so thankful. You know, we see that there's a lot of new translations that have verses kept out, you know, and to try to comfort themselves. I am not easily, you know, when somebody talks to me about, oh, you should get the NIV, you should get this or that, I'm like, no, I just really don't want to. But with God, all things are possible. All things. You know, without God, this would have been much, much harder. I will start back from years ago. I say years ago, but back when we got married. So May 7 of 2013, and already then we knew that we wanted to move, but we didn't know where to go. There was this hunger in us. Our parents moved a lot and just couldn't seem to find what they wanted and what they wanted to raise their children up in. And we were tired of moving, so we wanted to make one move, and that was it. Well, we moved to, we finally ended up moving to Gosport, Indiana. It's a little bit southeast of here. And we moved there in April of 2016. And a few weeks before that, my parents moved to Missouri. That distance was so hard on me, and which I see now that that was good for me because I depended too much on them. And also in looking back, I see that it is also it has also prepared me for this step. And really, it has prepared us for it, for coming away from the Amish. Now, I am not coming in with this message as a thought that you all are doing God's will by stepping away from what you have been taught. That is not the answer. The answer is, what are you stepping away from and what are you stepping to? If you cannot make a step closer to God, stay where you're at. Because, for instance, my brother, soon after we left, one of my brothers said, you didn't have to deny Jesus to stay Amish. You wouldn't have had to. So in other words, you could have stayed Amish. My question is this. Isn't depending on your own good works for your salvation denying Jesus? And that's where I cannot turn back. We cannot turn back. But while we lived in Gosport, we had a lot of painful situations. And Brother Chad, I know this morning at Sunday school you talked about never having experienced having to struggle with where your next meal comes from. Me personally, I never really did experience that to the degree that my wife and my oldest daughter experienced that. We had a job that was not that well paying, but and I was not a good steward at money. Now, you don't have to be involved in drugs or beer and alcohol and stuff like that to not be a good steward in money. You can be free of all that and still not manage your money correctly. And so there was times that, I mean, she would pack my lunch and she would make sure that I have something to eat. We would pour a bunch of water into our milk just to make it go further. And Hannah was like, Mom, what shall we eat? And while I was at work, and she said, Hannah, we really don't have anything to eat right now. And gave her a cup of milk, you know, to tide her over. Looking back, I feel bad about that. I don't ever want to get in that. And then through everything, through the miles apart of being away from my parents, I had a mental breakdown, which I guess they somewhat diagnosed me as schizophrenia that I had, and that's why I like to watch skits. But so we I had that mental breakdown, and they sent me out to the community there, the Church of Gosport there, sent me out to Ohio, and my wife and kids were home alone at that time. We just had the two girls by that time. And that was quite a journey for us. And then I was out there for 8 weeks, and then I got discharged from there in agreement to go to Fresh Start Training Center in Washington, Indiana. And that was definitely a big help. So my counselor's office in Ohio, it was an Amish facility, but non-Amish counselors. And he would, you know, he had a plaque on the wall saying that he is a legal, like a licensed counselor for this country. And I never saw a Bible open. I never saw him on his phone with the Bible open that way. I mean, if you don't have a Bible, that's probably, at least you can read out of the Bible there. But I never saw a Bible in his office. When we went for the interview at Fresh Start Training Center in Washington, Indiana, I call it Washington, D.C. because Washington is in Davis County. So, we did live in Washington, D.C. at one time. We were there for the interview, and I will never forget how the head guy of the interview, he had the Bible. He had an actual Bible on the table there. He said, Joseph, and after they heard our story, he said, Joseph, I could be right where you are at. I am no better than you. He said, I don't have the answers, but he laid his hand on the Bible and he said, here are the answers. And just from hearing that, that was like, there we go. That is really what we need. That is really the direction. That is really where we need to go for help. Well, we were there for 8 months. And upon returning in February of 2018 is when we returned home to Gosport. And then our landlord came to us and we were totally broke, totally had nothing. Our landlord came to us and he said, this community is dispersing, which there's no more Amish there. He said, this community is dispersing and I want you off in 4 weeks because I want to fix up this property to get ready to sell. 4 weeks. And we just came home from something like that. That seemed cruel. But are we victims? No, we're victors. We can choose to be victors. Now, right at the time, we were probably victims of that circumstance, but we didn't have to stay there. So Fresh Start Training Center, they went up there and they helped us move down to Davies County. Right next door where there was a big cabinet shop where it was a well-paying job. He gave bonuses 2 or 3 times a year, and the bonuses consisted anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 just in the bonus. And then plus the hourly wage was very, very good. And then I had fun there at Dinky's Auction Center. I loved to do the rambling, and I loved to do the ring man and bid spotting and stuff like that. So much we moved there with the plans that we'll stay here until we find another Amish community to move to. And even though I knew that we are going to move and we had planned to move, I was like, how can I give Dinky's up? This was just something that was just a part of me, I thought. And I was just born into it, it seemed like. So, but you know what? When the Lord grabs a hold of your heart, anything can change. Anything can change. And so as a result of working there at Dinky's, as some of you know that I was working there and I found a track Brother John Barnes laid down and on a table. And I'm so glad I can look back and, you know, when he was here just standing right there at the glass door there, my wife and I both went up and we shook his hand and we said, thank you. Amen. And we're just never sorry we did that. But I stuck it in my pocket, you know, like Amish do, like right here's the track laying there. And I'm like, oh man, that looked like it almost had my name on it. And I read the title of it and I was like, you know, you look around, make sure that there's nobody that sees you. And I just stuck it in my pocket and went on with the day and came home to my wife who had been praying that very day while I was gone. She has been praying. She said, Lord, please show Joseph today what your will is. Amen. Through this. And then we were like, we got a hold of Pastor Glenn Yoder through his son Ivan, who wrote the tract. And we were just like, we just feel like we need to go and check out this church where this tract came from. Would you have an idea? He said, yes, sir, I do. And they plan to come down there to Davies County and come up here with us. And you know, we just kept everything hushed in that time until that day came when we decided that now is the time to let the word out. And we moved to Montgomery, Indiana in April, I believe, of 2018. And with that also came the lifestyle of, I don't know, how many of you are familiar with the wild parties that they have? We had those cars coming in the driveway right past us and going into the neighbor's place there. And one time, and he was actually my boss at work. And one time he said, "Joseph, I'm sorry, but what can you do if 5 minutes before the first people show up for this party is when I find out?" I'm sorry, but that is a lame weakness. That is a weakness that should not be. That is a good excuse, right? But a good excuse is a bad reason. And so I'm like, okay, who's in control here? The kids or the dad? It would sound so good, so easy for us to just put our foot down and say, "Nope, this is not happening at my house." But you know what? It's more to it than just that. Because our landlord, where we moved at that time in Davis County, Indiana, I respect him for this very thing, that he did not allow his kids to be involved in those parties and on his properties. And so if they had any opposition, the youth group would come, the party people would come, and they would put a round bale on this person's front yard and stick it on fire, you know. And how long a bale of hay can smolder and smother, you know, and just on and on, you know, just burn and smoke, carry on, just because of the opposition that they got. So people didn't dare to speak up. And one time, there at first, we were just in shock. And there at first, I was like, I guess people say that they can really easily read my mind. I'm not very good at hiding my feelings. Well, and he realized that I was very in disapproval of those parties. And there was a meeting scheduled with our mentors. And that meeting consisted of telling us to be quiet. "We know that stuff is not right, but you need to hush up. You need to be careful at how you look at that guy, you know, that it don't portray a look of disapproval or anything like that, you know." And we became closer friends, you know, got better along after that then. But the point here is whenever we decided to leave the Amish and word got out, well, we let the word go out. We told people what our plans are. Then the very day that we started telling people, like, they're at work, I told my deacon of the church there, and he nearly fell over backwards. I mean, he was just in shock. And oh, he just about turned pale. And before that, my boss was, you know, kind of like not very concerned about it. He said, "Oh, I ain't going to fire you just because you drive a vehicle." Well, it was more to it than that, because the deacon was shocked about it and not happy about it. So he had to measure up. Plus, this was a Baptist church. This was not a Mennonite church. A Mennonite church would have been different. Yeah, we would have gotten some visits, but it would have still not been as harshly treated. We would have never gotten put in the band. We got asked this question: "Why don't you go to a Mennonite church first and then maybe later on go on?" No, if the Lord says go here, why go here first, you know? And so another thing is that is also recognizing that band. Whereas I don't feel that band is legit between us and God. And we've already thought about going down to Davis County and ask if they could lift up that ban. But that would be recognizing as though that ban were actually something to it. And so we're, you know, as long as it don't cut us off from God, what do we have to fear? You know, we don't have to fear anything as long as it don't cut us from God. So as time went on, and you know, my boss would ask me if we would get rebaptized and stuff like that, and I said, "Well, really, what is the definition of baptism? Like, really, we've never really been baptized, have we? If the Bible if the Bible way of being baptized is through immersion. And you know, I like one other thing that I like to think about is if sprinkling baptism is just as right as immersion baptism. Now, I'm not saying it is, because it is not. But if it would be, if we claim to be followers of Jesus, which way should we choose to be baptized? The way Jesus did. And that's still my fine line. But I know that the only true baptizing, the only true baptism is through immersion, but you have to be saved first. And just as well as this is the only book. Amen. Well, baptism through immersion is the only way to, you know, the only scriptural way to be baptized. And so we, I don't know, we had a lot of difficulty. Now, we've never experienced that ban before that. We've never experienced that ban until now, but we were already moved by that time. And another thing that we were concerned for our children is that later on, as they, you know, like my oldest daughter, she had, both of my daughters, they had, they were very good friends with this neighbor girl their age. And one time this neighbor girl was over here and they were discussing these wild parties. And the neighbor girl was like, hey, it's okay to party. And my daughters were like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And, you know, even though I know that they had that taught and drilled in them that that is not okay, what happens when they grow up and they have to face their peer in real life? And I don't know how that would all go. But we were very concerned for our kids in that way. And, you know, just recently there was an accident late Saturday night, I believe it was, several weeks ago, where a 16-year-old girl got hit because a car sideswiped a telephone pole, and she was hanging out the window. And this Amish boy got a DUI and got arrested for manslaughter and all that. He's in prison. And that could have been my daughter killed just in 5 years from now, 6 years from now. That could have been my daughter. That could have been my son in prison 15 years from now. That could have been him. That could have been my son. Could it yet happen? Are we totally exempt from that? No. No, we are constantly where we need to make the right choices. Constantly we're there, no matter where we go. But we did not want to have our kids under that influence and under those peers. And that was a very big concern. And there was like these times that, well, we tried to make sure that they're in bed and asleep already before they come in here, or we'd have a rough night. And the next morning by 6 o'clock, I had to be at work. Regardless what, I had to be at work. But yet we had a sleepless half a night, or sometimes till 2 o'clock. And there was one night that they thought our landlord was still living there. And they came to our back door. We didn't always lock our back door. And that particular time it happened to be locked. And but we had these guys coming up to the back door. Hey, neighbor, let us in. Thunk, 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 thunk. You know, and they would pound on the door. And of course our girls just cried. And we said, let's pray. And we just knelt down and we just prayed right there. And soon we heard somebody saying, hey, Elmer doesn't live there no more. Which was landlord. He doesn't live there no more. And so they halted, you know. But that was some scary stuff. But we were just supposed to shut up about it. We were just supposed to shut up about it. Now, in our transition time, in the time that we were leaving, that we had already decided to leave, we were like, we don't want to let our parents know through the grapevines. Hey, did you hear that Joseph and Mary are leaving the Amish? And they are going to this Baptist church, which claims that, which their definition of security, of salvation is, you can get saved and then it don't matter. You can go out and do whatever you want. You're going to heaven. If a person's got that mentality, he's very likely not saved. He's very likely not saved because the Bible says that he will create in us a new heart. That's what the Bible says. A new heart would not just do that. A new heart would not just go out and sin. Yes, we're human and we still make mistakes. But as far as just going out and just serving our flesh, that's not that reborn heart from God. And my in-laws, my wife's parents were actually down in Davis County visiting us that particular time when we decided that now is the time for word to get out. And just before they left, we shared it with them, what we're planning to do. And her mom cried about it and was not very happy and to hear that. And all of a sudden, my father-in-law just escaped and went up to the shop where I used to work at. And I didn't think nothing of it, but putting the puzzle together, I know what he went up there for. He went up there for our Amish mentor's phone number. He went up there for his phone number because he wanted to call him about us. And that very evening when we let word get out, as far as they're at my workplace, I got a call from this mentor and he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing good." He said, "I'm not so sure." I said, "Why? What were you just telling so-and-so and so-and-so about what you're planning to do?" Oh, so that's supposed to be the definition that I'm not doing good? Praise the Lord, I was still doing good. And, I left my dad a message and asked my mom and dad to come to the phone and call us and at an appointed time or whatever, and they did. And well, mom was sick with the flu and was not able to go to the phone, but my dad did, and I shared it with him on the phone, and they were not very happy. Now, after we came here, so we came here the first time, July 12th of 2020 was our first church service, and we were sitting right there where Brother Morris is sitting at, and right in that pew. And then 2 weeks later, July 26th, I wanted to get this thing settled. Amen. And for good. Amen. Because I would wake up at night and I would tell my wife, "I'm afraid if I die tonight, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven." Right. And that was before we even planned to leave the Amish. But yeah, so I made my way up here and secured it. And I believe in security of salvation. Why would the blood be of less effect than what it was that day, even if I live to be 90 years old or 100 years old? So it will never be of none effect. And it was a good Sunday when we walked in here. You folks done a good job in just making us feel at home here. And after we had moved up here, and the first time we went out to visit my parents, here's the thing. I could go down the row, each individual, and say, is there anybody in here who would want to do something to make their mom cry because she's heartbroken? Nobody would say they would want to. Nobody at all. And you know what? I don't want to either. And it's hard to go back to visit them for like 20 to 30 minutes, sitting there and visiting them. And 95% of the time, my mom was there just crying. She was just crying. And that was hard. That was hard to see. But you know, the culture, could I go back because of the culture? Yeah, I could. I love the culture. I really like it. There's more to it than that. Now, just in experiencing that of having my mom cry because of being heartbroken for me, I could any day say, "Hey, this is not worth it. We're going back. We're going back." But there's a lot more to it than that. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And I believe that where the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked, as far as in marriage, you know, that is very true. But doesn't that apply to church as well? Because If I believe in this eternal security of salvation, and I'm in a sect of people that believes in works-based salvation, and I try to, I mean, what does a guy do once he sees the truth? He cannot be quiet, right? So I would get in trouble. I would get in trouble because they do. That stuff did already happen numerous times, and they got in trouble with the church. And before they had even thought about leaving the Amish, they were in trouble with the church because they, basically talked about their beliefs, you know, and stuff like that. And I was blessed with our talk, Brother Morris, this morning on the bus. He asked me if the Lord would if I could do it to go back to a horse and buggy, if the Lord would call us to the Amish to minister to them. Yes, I could. Now, once the time actually comes to do it, it would probably be a little bit harder, you know, with me, getting. I mean, I don't want to get any material things in my way of serving God. But you know, I enjoy what I do, and part of that takes Class A CDL, and so it would be kind of hard to give that up. But you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want to go down that road because we should be willing to leave everything behind us for Jesus. Even no matter what it is, that other stuff is such a small little thing. I mean, it's nothing because we won't be able to take any of this with us. The only thing that we are able to take with us is, well, we're going to stand. That's another thing. We're going to stand by ourselves in front of God. And that's the only thing is our acceptance of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The blessings are the people that we get to lead to Christ. And that is definitely a blessing. And it would be much harder for me to go and witness to the Amish than what it would be for you guys, because just the fact that I used to be Amish already gets their attention where they don't want to listen to me. But that does not make so that I shouldn't, you know. So Genesis 19, real quick, 17 and 26. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then verse number 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You know, with that thought, I was just thinking about it, you know, how, my wife bakes, does baked goods and stuff. If she would put too much salt in it, it would actually it would turn it bitter, right? And we can read in the Bible where if the salt has lost its savor, it is of none effect. But you know, too much salt can also be, what I'm talking about is the Lot's wife salt. In looking back, and she dried up into a pillar of salt. And it's good, it's healthy for us. It's good saltiness to look back and get glimpses of our life to learn how to walk better in the future, and also to see where there's probably some choices that we made that were good. Like in sharing testimony, it's good to look back at those days. But you know what? Too much of that could just totally get us down. Now, earlier I talked about how I had a mental breakdown, and that was just within the 2 years that we lived in Gosport. And we've been here for 3 years now, and we are totally cut off. And I had not had a mental breakdown in this. Now, I'm not going to say, oh, look at me and let my guards down, because then it could happen. But the difference is, Jesus. Amen. The difference is Jesus. That is the only answer that I find. It's not me. It's nobody. It's Jesus. Amen. But you know what? Thank you, Blessed Hope, for helping us find that. Amen. Thank you, Blessed Hope, for helping us find that. And so the last thought, don't turn yourself into a pillar of salt by looking back so much that it suffocates you. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this time, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, may it have been a blessing to somebody, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would just bless the rest of the evening. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.